How are you doing, James?
I'm doing great, Brendan. How are you?
Doing fantastic. It's awesome to talk to you. You're my first ever interview, to be honest.
What?
So,
oh my God.
Yeah, thank you very much.
What?
Should we just dive right into the new album?
Absolutely.
Okay,
go for it. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, A View from the Top of the World, I've been listening to it nonstop ever since it was released October 22nd. And just wanted to ask, because your last album was in 2019, and 2020, obviously, with everything that happened, did that put some inspiration or creativity when it came to this album?
I think that, to be honest with you, I think the pandemic really made us, take a step back and think about what really matters in life. And that is, we have our health, we have our family, we have our friends. And then as far as the band goes, we realized that, hey man, we can't take any of this for granted. I think it was a spirited endeavor because of what was going on around us that we, it was a welcome distraction to go into the studio and focus on music. But there was it was a spirited effort because we just realized that, so easily something could be taken away from you. So I think going into this album, we knew the kind of album we wanted to write. We knew that we wanted it to be high energy, from beginning to end. We knew we wanted to write an epic track and so on and so forth. But I think with the events, the current state of affairs around us, I think that it really kind of did give us that inspiration to, want to have this union and really be able to celebrate what it is that we do as artists.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I think it really lent itself. It was unfortunate we had to pull down the world tour before we were even anywhere near. I mean, our last show was in Glasgow on February 23rd, 2020, and we were supposed to be out until mid-October of that year. So anyways, But I think what we need to be thankful for is that we're all healthy and we're all doing well, and we got a great album out, and that we're all looking forward to getting back out and touring and supporting it and doing what we love to do.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm a guy that loves amazing album covers, and obviously over the years, Dream Theater has had a ton of these amazing album artworks. So what's the inspiration behind this one?
Well, we were once again working with Hugh Syme, who's world renowned for all his works with Rush. He came in from Caress of Steel and onward. He's just a phenomenal talent. Hugh is, he always loves to start with the title of the album. So that's what he likes to get first. And from there, he's very prolific in the way that he comes up with the imagery. He comes up, and it's his art. It's his imagery that really describes what it is that we're trying to get across visually. And with him, the title track, A View from the Top of the World, is actually talking about the daredevils that live in our world. They like to push to the physical extremes, even with the risk of paying the ultimate price. So people that love to skydive, mountain climb, you got it, whitewater rafting, anything that is almost like to a certain degree death defying. And so that's what that title track is about. So he has the album cover is a place, I believe it's in North Norway, and it actually exists. Like, that's a real place that people go, and they stand on that rock between two of the the cliffs or the edifice there, and you can go up there, and I think it's 300 meters in the air, which is what, like 900 feet, 1,000 feet,
jeez,
something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, would you do it? I wouldn't do it.
I was gonna
at that moment there would be like a slight tremor and then you fall.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how did he find that place? Did he already know about it?
That's Hugh. Like, I'm sure he has his way of researching and looking at places or anything, that will conjure up something that will, support what it is that he's going after. He probably just, that's his homework. I'm not quite sure how he does his research.
But that's
the thing. And if you look at the rest of the booklet of the album and the way that he supports each lyric and each song with the imagery behind each song, it's phenomenal. I mean, the guy's just like, he's just so cool.
Yeah.
And so unique, and he's identifiable. You know that that's Hugh Symes' artwork. You know, he just has an identity.
And
obviously
for that last song, A View from the Top of the World, it's 20 minutes long. It's an epic song. I love it. But did you guys all collaborate on saying, hey, we're going to make a 20-minute long epic song for this album to end the whole entire thing?
Yeah, well, we knew that we were going to do that kind of a track before we even set foot in the studio. We knew that we wanted, you know, it was about time. It had been a while since Illumination Theory, which was our last epic track. We knew that we wanted to write another epic. And so that kind of, you know, set the tone for the rest of the album. We knew that, you know, with an epic track, then that also opens the door that we can go down these avenues and explore here. And I mean, every Dream Theater album is, you know, pushing everything to the limit, to the maximum. There's no predictability as to where we want to go until we get in the room with each other, and then everything starts to come together. A lot of conversation and a lot of, ideas, like seeds to each and every song or idea that eventually morphs into a complete song. So we definitely knew we were doing an epic, that's for sure.
Yeah, did you? So that goes into my next question about, do you guys all go into the studio at once and collectively just jam and say, we kind of like this sound, we'll go along with this? Or do you go in there with sheet music and like are prepared for doing the whole album?
Yeah, no, no, we kind of go in to the studio. So we're all together. And then we have a, you know, like I said, there's a lot of conversation. And then everyone has seeds. A lot of the ideas in that stem from the writing instruments, and that being the keyboard and the guitar. So Jordan and John, you know, they do have a lot of ideas and seeds. And then from there, it mushrooms to the rest of the guys, and then we all have our input and so on and so forth. And not that we're not coming in with ideas as well. So it's a matter, you know, for a band like this to be able to put together, you have to be in the same room, you know. Now, that being said, as instrumentalists, you have to be in the same room because there's a lot of chemistry. There's a lot of feeding off of one another. Myself, with this particular album, I was at my studio in my house being pumped through to those guys via Zoom. And then their instruments were pumped through my studio speakers at my house. So, but you know, that didn't really change the game, because normally I would be there and sitting in the corner with my mic, you know, and then my headphones on, and then that's how I would communicate to them. So the only difference being is that, you know, I was 1,000 miles away or whatever, and they could see me. They had me up on a big monitor screen, and they could look at my big face on this monitor screen. And then I was able to communicate to them right then and there, the same way that I would if I was sitting in the room. So it didn't really change the game for me, but for them, they have to be together in the room, because it's so prolific the way that things happen. Things happen quickly. And, you know, one's feeding off the other, whether it be John and Mike, you know, feeding off a riff, or John and Jordan, or vice versa, all of them, you know, and that's the way that it goes. But, you know, we go in with these ideas, we jam out the ideas, one thing leads to another, and eventually that's how songs become who and what they are.
Oh, that's tremendous. Yeah, so I have a feature called, I go by Peaches on KBR 101. So my last name's Peach.
Okay, yep.
That's why I go by Peaches. It's just a funny little gimmick. But I have this little feature called Peaches Power Ballad. And I played Invisible Monster like right as it came out. Could you tell the listeners, what is the idea behind that song?
It's about, like, just basically that we all have, you know, our... we all have our demons. Like, we all have our doubts. We all have our faults in that. And it's, how much attention are you going to give to the voice that's, you know, constantly dubious or anything like that. And it's, I think that it's a matter of transcending that, which kind of can always make us less of who and what we are, or what our potential, our full potential is. So that's it. You know, it's dealing with this voice of conflict. And are you going to be able to suppress it? Are you going to be able to get past it? Are you going to eradicate it completely? That's what it's about. That basically puts it in a nutshell.
Oh, no, I love that. Yeah, thank you so much for joining me today on my first ever interview. Can I ask you for one last thing before you do go?
Yeah, sure.
Could you possibly say, hi, I'm James LaBrie of Dream Theater, and you're listening to Idaho's only rock station, KBR 101.
Hey, everyone, this is James LaBrie from Dream Theater, and you're listening to Idaho's only rock station, KBR 101.